This call is being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show. And today we're doing our podcast with Michael Dougherty. Michael, how are you? Where are you calling from?
I am in northeastern Pennsylvania, just outside of Scranton, which is famous, of course, for The Office, which was on TV the last couple decades here. So,
well, that sounds great. You just told me something I didn't know already. I never realized where that show originated from, but that's pretty cool. I love The Office.
Sure.
But tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am 37 years old. As I said, I live in northeastern Pennsylvania. I've been here all my life, and I have a beautiful 8-year-old daughter. I won't say her age, but I have a beautiful wife as well. I'm sitting right now in my living room with two of my dogs, my pet husky that just joined us a couple months ago, and of course my retired seeing eye dog who's sitting at my feet right now, Mac. So,
oh, Mac, and how long did you have Mac before you had to retire him?
Mac and I worked together just over 6 years, and our goal was 6 years. So the pandemic has been stressful on all of us, but it's something I can sit and explain to my 8-year-old daughter. I can't explain it to my 8-year-old dog. So the fact that we're not going out as much got to him. We did a lot of stuff, but the fact that he's not getting the practice that he needs, or that he needs to maintain, and I'm afraid that's going to happen with a lot of people who are service dog handlers. Actually, he was slowing down before the pandemic, so this just kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back. So, but he's very happy just playing with his new sister right now. So,
oh, well, you know what, that's a really good point that I haven't thought about. You know, the guide dogs, they have to keep being a guide dog and being active in order to keep up the practice, correct?
Yeah, it's not far off from a doctor. They're always practicing, and like anything, if you're not doing it continually, you lose it, actually. And I knew that was a possibility back in March and April when all this was happening. But and we did walk every day, but like I said, he was slowing down at the end of last year anyways, and mm-hmm. He's 8 years old. We did work together for 6.5 years. He's a little over 8 now, and it was just time for him to be done. And now he can just be a pet and enjoy retirement. So,
oh, that's nice. And that's also a safety concern for you too, because you know when all this ends, you won't be able to go out there with him in the same way that you once did.
That is 100% true, actually. But with that being said, I have already made a decision with my wife that we're going to be the crazy doghouse, because I'm going to go back to the seeing eye when the pandemic's over, or maybe towards the end of the pandemic. They already invited me back, which was great. They're only taking students right now who can drive to their school, because they don't want anybody flying and carrying stuff. At least that's my understanding of it. And they're only about an hour and a half away from my house. So when the time's right, and that we'll cross that bridge when we get there, we'll end up having another dog here as well. But that dog will be a working dog, and the husky and Mac and the old retired seeing eye dog will just sit at home and bark at each other.
Well, Michael, how did you go blind?
I've had diabetes since I was 12. And when I was diagnosed with diabetes, my blood sugar was the highest ever in the world, actually. It was recorded by the Guinness Book of World Records as the highest blood sugar ever recorded. Normal blood sugar is about 100, and you can give or take 20 off of that, depending on what doctors you're talking to. So 120 to 80 was normal range, and my blood sugar was 2,350. And it had never been recorded that high before. So I went into a coma for a couple of days, had to learn how to walk again after that. But I could see after that till I was about 29. And the eye doctors had told me throughout my teenage years and even into my 20s that I would eventually probably lose my vision a lot from the initial shock, let alone I wasn't the best diabetic, we'll say.
Oh, boy. You were a cheater.
I think that happened. Well, I think it was a lot of a teenage mentality. I probably got it at the wrong time. I never cared about sugar or cookies or any of the BS that comes along with stuff you have to stay away from when you have diabetes. But when a doctor told me I couldn't have it, that's when I, as a teenager, said, yeah, don't tell me what to do. And I would sneak things here and there. So, but with that being said, at the age of 21, I was actually diagnosed with a chronic form of leukemia as well. These are two totally different things that really don't have anything to do with each other. But I tell you about that because...
You could have died with that.
Well, it's funny too. Well, it's not funny. None of that's funny, but I would say it's funny because it's my situation. But the doctor kind of told me that if you had to pick a cancer to get, I don't know what wild world he lived in where somebody would pick a cancer to get, but he was trying to make me feel better. He said, if you had to pick a cancer to get, this would be the one that you would pick because it's controlled with, it is chemo every day, but it's oral chemo. So it's just a pill. It did make me sick when I first started taking it. And every now and again, we change it and it makes me sick for about 2 or 3 weeks. But I have it relatively easy in comparison to what I know some people have gone through throughout their survivor story. So, you know, so
do you have to take that pill the rest of your life each day?
I have been taking that pill for 16 years. There are some side effects of it. So there will be a time when... I will look into a bone marrow transplant, which is, well, it's actually a stem cell transplant. They do bone marrow and stem cell transplants. Mm-hmm. They're very similar. It's just an updated version from what I understand. Don't quote me on any of this. It's been a long time since I looked at it.
It's our little secret.
Yeah, sure. There is a way to actually, to cure the problem. It's just a matter of actually sitting down and doing it. But of course, that has its risks. So right now my daughter's 8. We'll ride this out as long as we can, and if the side effects get troublesome, we'll jump into that when the time is right. We'll just say so. But with that being said, those two things kind of combined when I was 29, and
oh boy, and
they attacked my eyes. That's the only reason I really brought it up. And it accelerated the deterioration of my eyes. So I have diabetic retinopathy. I do have some light perception out of my left eye, nothing out of my right eye. And it's weird because I'm not even sure. I can tell you where the sun is, but I don't know anymore if that's because I can see where the sun is or if I've been blind for so long that I could feel which way it's coming from.
Oh, my God.
But
well, it seems like you could take it really well.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It seems like you have a very, very positive attitude about it, and you take it all very well. You know.
Well,
I'm sorry. Go on.
No, I was going to say. I think I was in many ways fortunate to have those two problems before I lost my vision. I know that a lot of people suffer from depression when they first lose their vision. Mm-hmm. I had already had my pity parties for myself. I had already had my problems. I had already had my mental anxiety with the previous two problems. And because I'm now wearing an insulin pump, I'm now taking chemo, and I know what has to be done. And that's just a matter of learning how to function with the new problem. It was one thing as a diabetic, you got to start giving yourself a shot. You got to prick your finger. Eventually, I would end up many years later wearing a continuous glucose monitoring system that just tells me what my blood sugar is at all times. So right now, anytime you see me, I always have two needles inside of me.
Oh, my God.
One that is the CGM, the monitoring of blood sugar, the Dexcom. Most people know it as. I think they advertise on TV, but
oh, that's what that is. And they never tell you what it is. They just tell you to ask your doctor. So, like, well, what is it? What is it for? I'm just asking my doctor for anything.
Just ask, yeah, they're just making a sale. unfortunately, there's money in everything. So, but with that being said, that tests your blood sugar every 5 minutes. And if it goes too high, it alerts me that it's too high and I could fix it immediately. And if it goes too low, it alerts me that I'm too low and it can I can fix that immediately. But also, that was much later. But with the eyes, I knew the only way to get through it is to actually pick up and get through it. I had already had those struggles with the diabetes, had those struggles with the leukemia. And I was very fortunate that I had had those previous experiences, those previous bad experiences, to make sure that
they had vision. They had sort of broke you into it.
That's exactly it, actually. Yes. So, but
well, you know what? I want to tell you something. You were born at the exact right time because, like, when I was in the 60s and 70s, actually, I lost a cousin. She was 13 to leukemia, and at that point, there was no cure or anything to keep you going. It was basically a death sentence when you heard that. So you were born at the exact right time to find out that someone's like surviving and thriving with leukemia is like, it's amazing.
Well, I've had that now for 16 years. I've had the diabetes for 25 years. And throughout my lifetime or throughout, I've had multiple treatments for the diabetes. Sometimes it was taking 2 shots and pricking your finger 6 times a day. Then sometimes it was taking 4 shots a day and pricking your finger every time you felt weird. Now it's evolved into wearing an insulin pump. That's the other needle that's inside of me, and wearing the continuous glucose monitoring system, which tests my blood sugar every 5 minutes. And I don't have to prick my finger too much anymore. So because that's constantly telling me what my blood sugar is. So every now and again, it's wrong, which happens with technology and you have to correct it. But that I change out about once every 10 days. That's exactly what it is. Once every 10 days. And I think that's it, actually. So.
Well, so did you cook? Did you enjoy cooking before? How did you enjoy cooking before you lost your sight? Or was it something that you needed to do because of your diabetes to cook for yourself?
So I found out that I had my first eye surgery to save a little bit in my left eye about 2 weeks after I found out that my daughter was coming. So I needed to make sure that I can hold the house together. My ex and I broke up, so I raised my daughter for two to three years on my own. That was one of the reasons, one of the deciding factors that I went to go and get Mac, actually, because an extra set of eyes wasn't going to hurt anything, at least for when we were traveling. Plus, who doesn't want to introduce a wonderfully trained Labrador Retriever to his little baby girl, right? So
right.
So there was they worked with me very closely to make sure that I had the right dog for this household, as they do everybody. But when it comes to cooking, that was something I only really did on a grill. Barbecuing, I actually enjoyed barbecuing. I would cook just about everything on a barbecue. It's also healthier too, or at least theoretically it is, when you let the grease fall down, actually. But I had to learn some new techniques for her sake, let alone my own. So, but it's out of necessity. It wasn't a huge thing that I necessarily enjoyed as much as it was, as you said earlier, before we started recording, everyone eats, though.
Yeah, right.
And those kids eat all the time. They expect me to feed her 3 times a day.
Darn it. Well, I tell you what, tell us a little bit about your recipe today.
Oh, sure. So I think I sent you in one of the first recipes I learned after I went blind. It's very, very simple, and you can be as involved in it as you want, or you could do it the easy way, and I'll describe it the easy way. But if you want to make your own Alfredo sauce, you can do that. If you want to make your own pasta, you could do that. I don't, but I understand that some people really do enjoy it and like doing that as well. So basically what mine is today is just a chicken broccoli Alfredo. I add mushrooms to mine just because I enjoy mushrooms. What we do here is we foil the noodles until they're tender. While you're doing that, you can pull apart a roasted chicken, a rotisserie chicken that I always just buy at the store. You can then drain the pasta, put it into a greased baking dish, and add the chicken to that. I always use frozen broccoli. Again, if you choose to use fresh, you can do that. But I add frozen broccoli into that casserole dish as well. You can add any Alfredo sauce you like. I always try to find a mushroom one, whether it's Bertolli or Ragu or whatever's on sale. Mix everything all together. And at the end of that, you just top off what you have with a little bit of, I use mozzarella cheese. You bake it at 350 degrees until the cheese is melted. It only takes about 6 or 7 minutes. And then you can serve that and scoop it out for everybody. I do like, as you're putting it into, my wife taught me this, but I do like, as you're putting it into a bowl, to actually grab a, not a handful, but a tablespoon full of panko breadcrumbs, just to add a crunch onto this Alfredo bake, it's one here that was one of the first ones that I learned after I went blind, and it was a big hit with my daughter. So, and what's more important than that? So,
that's right. That's right. Your most ardent critic.
Yes. Yes. So. She liked it more after my wife came into our house and threw the panko breadcrumbs onto it, but my wife continues to make things better. So.
Oh no! But oh my God, that sounds so good! I tell you what, I was I took your recipe this morning, and I was putting, because it's going to be our recipe of the day, our cooking without looking recipe of the day, and okay. I'm like, oh my God, this sounds so good. I've got to make it this weekend. This is like, sounds so simple and so good. I've just got to try it. Oh, you know, rotisserie chicken, you know, that's my downfall. I walk into whatever store has that rotisserie chicken in the very front. I was like, okay, gotta have one.
You know what's nice there too? It pulls. There's a smell that it goes throughout the whole store. But with that being said, when I'm pulling the chicken apart, I always make sure to do that with my daughter, even since she was like 3 years old. And we always search for, obviously, the wishbone tradition. And,
oh yeah.
And she's always, she thinks she's sneaking the skin and eating it, but some arguments aren't worth
that's
worth
right
having,
so. It's just not worth it.
but I suppose if you wanted to leave that in the recipe too, you could do that as well. I always put it to the side. That's usually when my dogs are at my feet as well, actually, so they end up a little bit happier when I throw them a scrap or two. So
I'm sure they enjoy that, most definitely.
Surely.
Do you have, stop calling me Shirley. No, that old joke. So do you have, you've got such a positive attitude. What kind of philosophy, what would you tell other people who maybe find themselves losing their eyesight, losing the vision? What would you tell them?
I actually speak from time to time about subjects like this. Actually, I know that I've been through a number of things. I know that it's nothing in comparison to some other people's problems. I always say that the biggest problems that people will face are the ones that directly affect them. We might not care about something happening on the other side of the world because it's not affecting us. Of course, nothing is bigger to those individuals that it's directly affecting is the idea there. But with that being said, there's tools out there. And my sister-in-law is a guidance counselor at the school here, and she has all these ins, and she hooked me up with the right amount of tools. So sometimes it's just a matter of finding the right tools. That's not just for blind life either. I think that's for life in general. There's tools out there. Use the tools. If you're eating, you use a fork. It's a tool. If you're writing, you use a pencil. It's a tool. Maybe writing anymore. It's done on a computer.
Maybe a computer now.
yeah. But it's just a matter of finding the right tool and utilizing it to make sure that you can get past and persevere through whatever problem is put in front of you, actually. Obviously, if that's blindness, because we're here today on the Cooking Without Looking podcast, if that's there's state, there's federal, and there's local organizations that can help, whether it be with transportation, whether it be with training, whether it be with getting back to work. But it's sometimes hard to find, but they are out there, actually. So one of the greatest tools I have is a simple iPhone. Actually, I love the fact that I went for 3 months without using the voiceover technology on the phone, and somebody was at my house filling out paperwork for something real quick, and he said, "Are you using the voiceover?" I didn't even know what that was. And he set it up for me real fast. And I taught myself how to use that over the course of the next 3 to 4 weeks. But there's not a day that – and now, I mean, with the Seeing AI app, it can tell you what you're looking at. It can take pictures, KNFB reader. And it depends on what people think is right for them, actually. The Orcam's out there now as well.
Oh, yeah.
For the glasses, I don't find them – I don't find them to be as useful, at least for me.
Sure.
I think the Seeing AI app and KNFB Reader does everything that they can, and it's a better
be
price
my
point.
Eye.
But
yes,
Be My Eyes. Just the other day, I was throwing something in the Crock-Pot, actually, and I couldn't remember whether the warm was the first one or whether the high was the second. And I called Be My Eyes real fast, and now I have it marked out, so I have it ready to go.
With the little dots, the high marks.
Yes, exactly that, actually. Just like on my microwave. I don't think I've used any button on my microwave that isn't add 30 seconds and start. That's all that I use. The rest of it is pointless to me. So but that's just a matter of using the right tools. If you can put a puffy paint down or the bump down,
sure.
That goes back to using the right tools. So,
or even I know that you can use a nail polish as well. You can use that for that. But I'm sure you probably don't have nail polish. But
well, I do have an 8-year-old daughter and a wife.
Go.
So it's
there
here. Not that I know where it is, but it's here in the house somewhere. But I chose puffy paint, actually. That seems to work fine for the oven and everything here too. But like I said, that's just another tool. If you're trying to achieve this goal of using a microwave, make sure you have the right tools. And they have talking ones as well. I don't know if they're within most people's price points, especially with the unemployment rate as high as it is in the blind community. But with that being said, you make do with what you have, right? So
sure. Well, how can people reach out to you, Michael?
Oh, goodness. I think the best way is to find me on Facebook, actually. I do have some, I did some comedy a couple of years back, actually. You could search for me on YouTube. I believe I put the set that I did down at Gotham in New York. That's adult comedy, so we won't talk about it too much here, actually. But you could reach out to me through the YouTube page. Or if you want to, you could put my email down, too, if anybody's interested in any speeches or anything. I know we're not meeting in person. I haven't done any Zoom ones, and we had to cancel a lot this year. But But I'm looking forward to getting back to speaking in front of people again. So,
well, did you want to share your email?
Sure. It right now I'm just using mdoherty817 at Yahoo. And we should be launching my page relatively soon as well, actually. But if you link that when you share the recipe, I think that'll be fine. So.
Okay, that's great. Well, Michael Dougherty, thank you so much for being with us on the podcast today, the Cooking Without Looking podcast.
Thank you so much for doing this. And I think you're exactly right. You said don't worry about the podcast. It'll be just like having a cup of coffee with a friend. And that's exactly what it was today.
Well, I'm glad. I don't like asking scientific questions like the circumference of your retina or any of that, you know. I'm certain I don't know mine either. So we like to keep it friendly. No one likes to listen to people being nervous.
That's good. You do a good job, actually. Yes, I think you do a wonderful job, actually. And it was very nice to talk to you today.
Oh, you too, Michael. Take care. And okay. All of you out there listening, have a wonderful day. This has been Renee Rentmeester, the Cooking Without Looking podcast. You can reach out to us at our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And if you want to reach out to us for sponsorship, my phone number is 305-200-9104. Take care. Have a great day, Michael. Have a great day, everyone.